In the last shiur, we discussed the possibility that there's a machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Sheshes, and this depends upon two approaches in the Beis HaLevi. And the question that we're asking is, what's the status of Rishus HaRabim, and is there a kinyan of Dalai Lamas that was established by the Chachamim in Rishus HaRabim? It's quite clear from Rav Sheshes that there is no takana of Dalai Lamas in Rishus HaRabim. In the case of Rav Papa, it's not clear at all, because Rav Papa just excludes Sadeh de Bala Bayis. He doesn't necessarily exclude Rishus HaRabim. There may be a sort of inherent, or shall we say, an intuitive desire on our part to go down the road and assume that there is Dalai Lamas Rishus HaRabim, if Chachamim are trying to create some sort of a peace and harmony and get rid of our anarchy, then maybe Dafkin Rishus HaRabim, we should have a takana. But the other side, the flip side, is to say that in Rishus HaRabim, which is called Dachki Beiramim, and it's very crowded in Rishus HaRabim, it's going to be almost impossible to determine who got there first and who established this Kinyan Dalai Lamas. And secondly, if Dalai Lamas works Midin Chatzer, I don't know if there's anything similar to a Chatzer or Shmeks of a Chatzer in Rishus HaRabim. I looked for a moment at... I had a spare moment during a break between Minchah Ma'ariv yesterday in a Sephardic shul right near my house, and they have a shas there. So I was looking up the Gemara in Ksubis in the third perek about Dochki Beirabim, the same phrase that we see here. And what I found was the Gemara there is analyzing the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. He holds that Sidei Rishus HaRabim Ki Rishus HaRabim, and that means that if, let's say, you were to take an object out of your house, which is Rishus HaYochid on Shabbos, excuse me, and you would place it down in a Sidei Rishus HaRabim, then you would be Chayav for Otzah Mirshus Lishus. And the Gemara tries to analyze Rabbi Loza's Shita and figure out what would Rabbi Loza say about Kinyonim, because the halacha is that you could be Kona something in a Simta, but we're not sure about Sidei Rishus HaRabim. So you cannot be Kona with Mashicha in a Rishus HaRabim. You cannot be Kona, but you can be Kona with Mashicha in a Simta. Now the question is, what about Sidei Rishus HaRabim? And the Gemara wants to suggest that there might be a difference between Kinyonim and Shabbos. That in Shabbos, you would be Chayav for taking something from Rishus HaYochid and putting it down in Sidei Rishus HaRabim, because Sidei Rishus HaRabim has the din of Rishus HaRabim, according to Rabbi Lazar. And the Gemara explains the reason for that is because Dochki Beirabim, that sometimes Rishus HaRabim becomes so packed and there's no room for anyone, so the Rabim spill over into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. And Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are those parts of the Rishus HaRabim that are sort of set off from the rest of the Rishus HaRabim on the sides, either to the left or to the right. They may even have poles that separate them from Rishus HaRabim, but yet Dochki Beirabim, that sometimes there's so many people, they go into the... So you see, very interesting, that in our sugya, the svar of Dochki Beirabim generates Rishus HaRabim, and therefore it's Mafkia, the kinyan of Dalai Lamas, according to Rav Sheshes. And in that sugya, in the third parak of Ksuvas, Dochki Beirabim extends Rishus HaRabim into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, such that you be chayev for Melech HaShabbos.
What exactly is it doing in Ksuvas?
The Gemara there in Ksuvas is dealing with a case in which you violate Gneva and violate Shabbos at the same time. And that simultaneity generates a principle which is called Kimle B'Derabimine, that you don't have to pay for the Gzela because you have Misa at the same moment.
Like in Krisus than in Ksuvas.
Well, the whole sugi of Kimle B'Derabimine is all in Ksuvas, the third parak, Elu Naris, because the Gemara wants to know, does a Ma'anis and a Mafata pay in a case where he violates a Nara who's also an Erava, so he at the same with the same Maisa Bia, he generates a Chi of Kares or Misa for Eishes Achiv, and at the same time he's Chayav Knas of 50 Shekel for Onus Umafata. So almost the entire Perek is dedicated to this one principle called Kimle B'Derabim. It's a very profound Perek. Anyway, I just wanted to notify you that this Dochki Beirabim, which we see here, as a definition of Rishus HaRabim applies in the Gemara in Ksuvis as far as Shabbos is concerned, that at least according to this one day of Rabbi Lazar, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim has the status of Rishus HaRabim, Yechayef Otzah, and the reason for that is because of Doch Kibei Rab. They're just mentioning it on the side. Now we get to Reish Lakish. Whoa! This is like, I'm in total shock. I just wish you would notify me a day in advance, you know, so I could get the 7-piece band. You know? Yeah. Okay.
Baruch Hashem.
So you actually came just in time, because up until this we were just reviewing some of the sugya that we did yesterday, but we're starting a brand new sugya today. So let's open up. We're going to open up to Bav Metzia Daf Yud Amud Beis. And you know, Yechiel, we split our time. We have we do like 45 minutes of each.
Yeah.
And you know, as a matter of fact, if you want to jump start, you can take a picture of this for the second 45 minutes, okay, if you like. And we're up to Amar Reish Lakish. So let's just see if we could all find the place. You'll see about 15 lines down from the top, the first word in the line is Tzidei. Do you see such a thing? Okay. It's actually right above the Tosis Ein, or actually towards the end of the Tosis Ve'i, you'll see it there. Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Abba Kohen Bardala. It's interesting, by the way, that last week's drasha that I gave here in the shul was about Abba Kohen Bardala, happens to be. Because when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, he says, Ani Yosef. And then it says, Ha'od Avichai, so Chazal say, in the name of Abba Kohen Bardala, Oylanu Miyom Adin, Oylanu Miyom Atochacha. In any event, here's the deal. The Torah says that there's issues to a ketana. And how is that generated? Her father marries her off. Now the question is, how do you break up that issues? Normally, you could break up issues with a get, and the get could be delivered in one of the following ways. Number one, it could be delivered to her hand, and that's called v'nosan biyada. Number two, the pasuk says v'shilcha mi beso, and from that we derive shlichus. And although the pasuk itself is addressing the shliach of the baal, but the Gemara assumes in Masechta Kiddushin that even her shliach can operate on her behalf to receive the get. And the third possibility is to put the get in her chatzer. Nosan l'tok kolsa or chatzeru.
And what's the makor for that?
And the makor for kinyan chatzer is it says v'nasan biyada, v'nasan mikol makom, ein li el yada af chatzeru. And that's going to be based on an equation, believe it or not, to a ganav, which we're going to have here. That a ganav, when he steals something, he doesn't have to necessarily take it into his rishus and hold on to it in his yad, but he could actually put it into his chotzer. Now, there may be a... Just give me a few minutes to give an introduction. There may be a fourth possibility of giving a get to a woman in her dalet amos, even in Rishus HaRabim. But that depends on the sugi that we learned yesterday, which is Rav Sheshes, who says that there's no kinyan arba amos in Rishus HaRabim. However, the Beis HaLevi says that the exception to that rule is get. That even though a person could not acquire ownership over an object that's hefker in dalet amos b'Rishus HaRabim, according to Rav Sheshes, but nevertheless, he could give a get into har dalet amos in Rishus HaRabim, and that would be a kiyum of v'nosan biyada. Now we're going to shift our discussion here from the normal case of gerushin to the case of kiddushei ketana, and we're going to ask the following question: under what circumstances, which of the above that we mentioned earlier scenarios would be effective to be Megarish Ektana? One thing is clear. V'nasan biyada. He could put it into our hand. The other way of putting it into our hand is to put it into her father's hand, and that too is considered yada. But we're going to discuss the following. Can he put it into the hands of Hashliach? And halacha is that in order to appoint a Shliach, you need a Bardas. Only a Bardas could appoint a Shliach. She is considered a Lav Bardas insofar as she's a Ketana. Therefore, we present the following conclusion. She could not appoint a Shliach. We go on to the next possibility. Can you be Megarish her by putting the get into her Chatzer? Now you may ask me, how could a Ketana own a Chatzer? And the answer is very simple. A Ketana could inherit a Chatzer. She's not Mufka from Kinyan Doraisa. So here we have a Machlokus between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. So let's hold our questions off till we sort of dip our fingers into the sugya. Omer Reish Lakish, Mishum Ava Koin Bardal, Ketana Ein Lo Chatzer, Arba Amos. You cannot effectuate a get in a gerushin by placing a get in the chatzer of a ketana, and so too you cannot effectuate a gerushin by placing the get in rishus harabim within a radius of hadal and amos. That's the opinion of Reish Lakish in the name of Abaco. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yane Omar. His opinion is Yesh la chatzer v'yesh la arba amos, that a ketana no less than a gdola could receive her get not only in her yad but even in her chatzer and even in her dalet amos. Now the one case that's omitted here in this debate between, we'll call it Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, is the case of shliach. And the reason why it's omitted is because there's no doubt about it. A ketana could not have a shliach. And I mention this with a great deal of emphasis because that halacha might actually give us the key to understand Reish Lakish. That the reason why she doesn't have a chatzer is somehow related to the fact that she doesn't have a shliach. Even though you would ask me what connection is there between a chatzer and a shliach, and that's going to be the Gemara that we're about to learn now, the Maikom Miflegi. Now, I would suggest the following. I have no proof for this, it's just my own intuition, that when the Gemara asks Maikom Miflegi, in essence, the Gemara is asking, how do I understand the Shita of Reish Lakish? And the reason I emphasize this is because I think that Rabbi Yochanan is Muvan Me'elov. And the Gemara is looking for some basis for why Reish Lakish would disagree with Rabbi Yochanan. Why is Rabbi Yochanan natural? The Torah says, V'nasan v'yada, and we know that the Yad includes a Chatzer. And the Rambam paskins in Perkei Milchus Gerushin that the same way you can give a get into a married woman's Yad, you can give it into a Chatzer. And the Rambam adds three words. The Rambam says, Chatzera Mishum Yada. That HaChatzer is an extension of HaYad. If we assume that Chatzer, as the Rambam formulates, is an extension of HaYad, then once the Torah has recognized the Yad of a Ketana for Gerushin, then ipso facto, the Torah should recognize the Chatzer of a Ketana for Gerushin. Is that clear? In other words, this is what you call modus tollens. You know, if all S is P and Q is S, then Q is P. In other words, if a woman has a yad, and if we assume that chatzer is a yad, then she certainly has a chatzer. In the case of a ketana, the Torah says v'nos biyada. And if chatzer is an extension of a yad, then to the same extent that she has a kinyan gerushin with yad, she therefore would have to have a kinyan with chatzer. And therefore, the Gemara immediately clears the path here as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned. Mar Sover, Rabbi Yochanan holds Chatzer, Mishum Yadis Rabboi. That when the Torah includes Chatzer, as we'll soon see where we find Chatzer, then it's an extension of Hayad. Ki Hechi de Isle Yad. Nobody questions the premise that a Ketan has a Yad as far as Gerushin is concerned. In other Kinyonim, she doesn't have a Yad because you need a Das Koneh. But in the case of Gerushin, which is Bal Karcha, she doesn't need Das Kone. Therefore, she has a Yad. And if she has a Yad, then Chatzah Nami Isla, because we're holding now that Chatzah Mishum Yadis Rabbi. But now we have to face the music of Reish Lakish. What is Reish Lakish going to argue? Umar Sava Reish Lakish holds Chatzah Mishum Shlichus Israbai. Ki Heichi the Shlichus Lesla, and nobody questions that premise, is Chatzah Nami Lesla. So the Machlokis here of Osai is not a Machlokis in Gerishin per se, but it's rather a Machlokis about the nature of Chatzah. And as a spin-off, that machlokus is going to impact on Gerushin. Why? Because if we understand Chatzar as a subcategory, as an extension of Yad, then certainly Rabbi Yochanan is right. If, on the other hand, we understand Chatzar as an extension of what? Of Shlichus, then we understand Rabbi Reish Lakish. So everything boils down to the question, what's the nature of Chatzar? And now the Gemara is going to question this very possibility that we offered for Reish Lakish. I'm going to prove to you that Chatzar is a Yad. It cannot be Shlichus. And if I can convince you of that, then we're back to square one. We don't understand Reish Lakish. Because the entire sheet of Reish Lakish is predicated on this equation between Shlichus and Yad. In which case between Chatzar and Shlichus, that Shlichus is like a self-appointed Chatzar. Do you follow what I mean? I meant to say the other way around. That Chatzar is a self-appointed Shliach. It's like a stand-up Shliach. You know, normally to set up a Shliach, you have to set up a Shliach. You need meaning Shlichus. In the case of a Chatzar, you don't have to appoint the Chatzar as your Shliach. In fact, the Gemara is going to tell us later on that Chatzeru Shalom Kondolo Shalom Midaito. There's no such thing as Shlichus Shalom Midaito, although there's something called Zochin, but that's fundamentally different than Shlichus. The bottom line here is that the Gemara is now going to prove that Chatzar could not be classified or subsumed under Shlichus. It's Chatzar is an extension of Yad. And again, we're back to Rabbi Yochanan's logic that if the Torah recognizes Yad Haktana with regard to Gerushin, and she can receive her get in her Yad because of an Asam B'Yada, then she could receive her get in her Chatzar. Now, how do we know that Chatzar is not Mishum Shlichus? So here we have to stretch our arm out to the laws of Gneva. A Ganav is Chayav because of what's called Kinyoni Gneva. And we have a Braisa that wants to know, can the Ganav achieve that Kinyon Gneva in his Chatzer? So he takes the object and he throws it into his Chatzer. So the Gemara quotes, this Braisa quotes a Pasuk. I'm going to read the entire Pasuk to you. This Pasuk is in Parashas Mishpatim, and it says, "Im himatzei, timatzei biyado hagneva, misharat hamartzei chayim, shnayim yishalim." So in the case of a Ganav, if we find the object that he stole in his yad, then he's chayev shnayim. He pays for kinyoni gneva, in this case he pays kefa. Biyado. The Torah says he matzi timatzei biyado. Ainli ela biyado. You know, I don't know more than what the Torah says. The Torah says that we found it in his hands. So the chiyuv tashlum kefil depends upon yad. Gago chatzero v'karpefo minayin. How do we know that if we find it in his chatzer, that too would constitute gneva? So let's say, for example, because it's hard to imagine a scenario in which he needs to be kona with his chatzer. How did he get into the chatzer? He must have taken it with his yad. So the answer is that somehow the animal on its own volition, went into his chatzer. And he made a decision, wow, this is a great opportunity to acquire ownership on someone else's animal. So what does he do? He locks the door. The moment he locks the door, the Gemara is going to derive now from an extra pasuk, he's kone the gneva. So there are two elements here that go into his Kenyan Gneva. Number one, it's a decision that he wants to abscond, he wants to take the object for himself. And number two, he locks the door of his chatzar. And in such a case, he's actually chayav as a ganav.
This is where I want to ask something here, because yesterday I didn't get it. Because remember, last week we were also talking about a tefisa as being not a form of kinyan, but rather as a way of resolving
sveikus, right?
And in this case, what the Gzeiros HaKasuv is saying, that this is evidence that he's a ganav, but I don't see, at least from the pashtos of the context, that this is a form of kinyan.
Well, the Gemara is assuming, which you could always ask why, that the only time a ganav is chayav is if he makes a kinyan.
Right.
Now, where did he make a kinyan? By locking the door.
Yeah, right, but in this case, it's a question of, the pashtus, okay, Balabhatashapshat, that we're talking about a circumstantial evidence he's caught red-handed figuratively, so to speak. But it's a stretch, at least to me, to see that now we're going to derive a halakhos of kinyanim from this.
So again, let me just set the record straight. The premise of this sugya is that a ganav is only chayav when he makes a kinyan. The classic kinyan would be a kinyan meshicha, a kinyan hagbah. He takes the object out of the rishus of the nignav and he takes it into his own rishus. That's called yad. Is it possible that without using yad and picking up the object or schlepping the object, he could effectuate a kinyan for which he's chayav as a ganav? So the Gemara never questions the premise that in order to be chayav as a ganav, he needs a kid.
Yeah, but now the question is, if the pasuk is telling me he might say to Mitzvayado that this is a raglayim ledover that he made a kinyan.
That shouldn't stare you. Meaning, we can talk about how we prove that he's a ganav, but right now we want to know the mechanics by which he becomes a ganav.
Right, and that part to me.
Right, we're not talking about
we're
not talking about umdano. We're not talking about police.
Yeah, but if we look at the pashtus of what the Gzeiros HaKasuv is saying.
Okay. Maybe we'll open up the pasuk later on. I'm just trying to get through this brisa. Now the brisa, again, to understand the inner mechanics of the brisa, is the brisa wants to know, is it possible for the ganav to make a kinyan simply by locking up Yenim's behemah in his chatzer? And for that we need a special drasha, we need a special reboot. Talmud Lomar, can he generate a kinyan gneva and a chiv kefa without his yad, just by simply locking it up on his roof or in his chatzer? And the answer is he motzei ti motzei. And afterwards the Torah says shnayim yishalim. So what's he motzei ti motzei? Why the double language? That's always a ribui. When the Torah didn't have to say he motzei ti motzei, could have just said he motzei. So mikol makom, it's coming to expand the bounds or the scope of a kinyan gneva, and that means that his chatzer is now kone the gneva. So the Gemara asks the following question, which is really way out. I intuitively find the Gemara's kasha very difficult. The Gemara says, "Isal kedai kachatzer mishum shlichus isra'boi." If you're correct, Reish Lakish, that when the Torah adds shlichus as another possibility of how you could be kona something through the hands of your shliach, and now you're going to tell me that chatzer is an extension of shlichus, that although you didn't appoint the chatzer, it doesn't need an appointment, but the chatzer functions as a shliach. Im Kain, says the Gemara, I can't begin to understand how a ganav could be kona his gneva through a chatzer, which means through a shliach. Im kein matzinu shliach l'dvar avera. And at this point, the Gemara thinks, kaimalon ein shliach l'dvar avera, that's an absolute rule. We'll call it a gzeiros HaKasuv. We're not interested right now in the logic of why ein shliach l'dvar avera, because obviously if we were interested in the logic, we could certainly find many distinctions between a human shliach and a chatzer. A chutz is an inanimate object, but the Gemara thinks ein shliach l'dvar avera. That's a halachic rule. That's a technicality, and it's got to be well founded, and it's going to apply even to a chutzer. Insofar as a chutzer is a shliach, meaning the function of the categorization of a chatzar as a shliach means that the chatzar is going to be bound and limited by the same limitations that apply to a shliach. And a shliach can go so far, but not beyond. A maisa vera cannot lend itself to shlichus. So I can appoint you from now until doomsday as my shliach to do an avera, and yet the shlichus is not operative, because the Torah says you can appoint a shliach for a maisa kinyan, you can appoint a shliach for kedushin, for gerushin, for matana, for hefker, to be zochem and hefker, but you cannot appoint a shliach for a dvar avera. Now again, you might say, well, it's halach in the minui, and we'll soon see that that's correct, but right now the Gemara thinks it's halach in shlichus. Just like a katan can't have shlichus, right? Again, just on the side, please don't ask me any questions about this, because this will open up a whole sugya unto itself. Tosus says in Masechta Ksuvos on Daf Tes, Tosus says that just like a katana cannot, or a katan cannot have a shliach, so to zochen liyadim lefanav doesn't apply to a katan or a katana. Why? Because a katan is mufka from shlichus. If a katan is mufka from shlichus, then a katan is mufka from chatzer, according to Reish Lakish, because the rules of chatzer apply through the parash of shlichus. The parash of shlichus is going to give me the rules and the limitations of chatzer. So chatzer, just like shliach, could only apply to kinyanim, to gittin, to kiddushin, but not to a dvar vera. Everybody have the kash of the Gemara. So it's very odd, because the very source of chatzer in the Torah is going to lead us to the conclusion that chatzer is an extension of yad, and it cannot be classified as what? As shlichus. How could Reish Lakish possibly limit the operation and the application of chatzer in the same way that a shliach is limited, and therefore a ketana who cannot have shlichus, therefore she cannot have a chatzer, when the source for chatzer is in a case where shlichus couldn't operate? It's outside the it's beyond the red line, you know, the purview of shlichus. And here the Gemara offers a machlokas between Ravina and Rav Sama. Now sometimes, you know, the Gemara has what's called ibois ema. You know, I can give you different answers. But in this case, the Gemara thinks that Ravina would not accept the answer of Rav Sama, and vice versa. So let's go through these answers, and then the Gemara is going to ask, why nafka mina? Amar Ravina, there is chatzer in Gneva, and the principle that normally limits shlichus would not apply to a chatzer. So again, even though a chatzer is a subcategory of shliach, but chatzer could operate where shliach could not operate, because we're going to reinterpret the principle of ein shliach l'dvar avera. We thought that ein shliach l'dvar avera means that a dvar avera is mufka from shlichus. It was outside the purview of shlichus. That's not so. There's a different logic to ein shliach l'dvar avera, which allows for exceptions to the rule. So basically the Gemara is saying is yesh shliach l'dvar avera. We make a mistake if we think ein shliach l'dvar avera. But ein shliach l'dvar avera applies in certain scenarios, certain cases, but yesh shliach l'dvar avera will apply in other scenarios. And in chatzer, we're always going to say yesh shliach l'dvar avera. Why? Exactly. And that's going to be Rav Sama. So hold off, Yechiel, just for 1 minute, because I want to square with Ravina. And then we'll get to Rav Sama. So Ravina says the following, that what happens in Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera is that the Shliach is included in the Avera. It means the following. If this action is an Avera for the Shliach, as well as it is for the Mshaleach, then the Shliach cannot operate on what is considered a Maisa Avera. If, let's say, you would have a case where this action is neutral as far as the Shliach is concerned, then he could become a Shliach for this action, even though that action would be classified as an Avera vis-a-vis the Mshaleach. And the Gemara says the following, that Ha'omer le'isha v'eved su v'ginvu v'ganvu li, delav b'nei chiyuva ninhu. Okay, this again, the Havmi of the Gemara is very, very difficult. But let me take the following case, if you don't mind, just for pedagogical purposes, which the Gemara is going to mention in a few lines. Let's say a Kohen would send a shliach to marry a grush on his behalf. Now, as far as the Yisrael is concerned, who's the shliach, he's not included in the Issa Grusha. For him, the marriage of a Grusha is not considered a Maisa Avera. Again, you may argue, and that's where the Gemara is going to go back and forth, that it's a Maisa Avera in so far as he's over Lifnaiva, because he's setting up an Avera on behalf of the Kohen who sent him. But at least as far as the purview of women of that he would be allowed to marry, a Grusha is not a problem for him. So again, the principle of Ravina here is that again, if we have a Maisa, which is a Maisa Vera for the Shliach, then the Shliach cannot pick up his agency on behalf of someone else in a Maisa Vera. But if the Maisa itself, as far as the Shliach is concerned, is a neutral Maisa, now somehow the Gemara is going to apply this to an Isha, who was a married woman who was sent as a shliach to steal something or to damage someone's property. The Gemara thinks that the Isha is not included in the Chiyuv of Gneva. That's pretty wild of a Havamina, but the Gemara has such a Havamina that for her, this is based on a Mishnah in Bava Kama that says Gimel Pgiyos and Ra, and one of them is a married woman. So if a married woman steals something or damages something, then the damaged party has no recourse to collect any compensation from this woman. And the reason for that is because she's married. Another case would be an Eved. An Eved is owned by the Adon. And insofar as he's owned by Adon, Pgiyasa Ra, so if he damages someone, the damaged party has no possibility of collecting from the Eved. So let's read the Gemara inside. Hecha, when do we apply this principle of Shliach L'Avera, the Shliach Bar Chiyuva? For him, this is an Avera. And if he's included in the Chiyuv of the Isur, then he cannot become a Shliach for doing a Maisa Avera. Aval bechatzer de la bar chiyuva, who clearly a chatzer is not a gavra, he's not a persona that you can say, well, he's obligated to mitzvahs and he's part of min mitzvahs. The whole concept of mitzvahs is inapplicable to him, so there are no chiyuvim on an inanimate object, he's just carbon. Is mechayev sholcho in such a case? And here's where the Gemara says, yeshliach l'dvar avera. Rabosai, if you would appoint a shliach who's not a bar chiyuva on this particular maisa, for you it would be an avera. You are going to be culpable as an avarion for violating the avera. Through what din? Shlichus. That's called shluchos shalodim kemosa. So we thought, Nahavamina, that there's no shlichus to a dvar avera. Period. No. The answer is there is shlichus to dvar avera. And you can send a shliach for an avera. But there's a proviso, as long as it's not an avera for the shliach. If he's a bar chiyuva, then he cannot become a shliach. And therefore the Gemara says, elameyata, should we draw the conclusion, therefore, that according to Ravina, ha'omer le'isha v'yevet su v'ginvu li, de'la b'nei chiyuva ninu, ha'chinami de'machayev sholchan? So the ganav is who's culpable for a gneva. It's the one who sent the isha and the eved.
Well, isha's not chayiv in gneva.
Oh, so I don't know this havamina. I'll tell you the truth, Yechiel. I tried to rack my brains. I can't figure out this havamina. Amrit, the Gemara rejects it. Isha v'eved b'nei chiyuvininu. When the Torah says lo sigzol, an isha and an eved are included. I mean, you could say that as man grama, you know, a woman is exempt from. Maybe even an Eved, right? Because la la mi isha. But don't tell me that a woman is not included in Gneva, but rather les lahu l'shlume. So the moment that she gets divorced, if you follow me, the Nignav, or the Nizak, will go and sue her for damages, even though she was married at the time of the Maisa Gneva, the Maisa Hezek. Tisnan, as we saw in the Mishnah in Bava Kama, that even though Pagiyasan Ra, but Nisgarsha Isha, but Nishtakra Evid, Chayovim Lashalin. So we have a principle that as far as Didi Mominus is concerned, she, the married woman, is considered in the Rishus of the husband. And that's going to be a problem for the Nignav. But he can certainly go after her after she receives a get. Now, we're not saying that she definitely received a get. But what we're saying is, this proves that she, no less than anyone else, is included in the Chiyuv of Gneva. So the Gemara later on is going to come up with another scenario to explain the nafkamina here between Ravina in the case of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira and the case where Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, where the Shliach is a Lav Bar Chiyuva. But this example of Isha V'Yevet in Gneva is a flop. A total flop. And I would testify that if anyone could explain the Hava Mina here.
The Hava Mina was that if she, I'm not saying it makes sense, but if she cannot repay.
I was hoping
repay,
you could explain it in a way that it would make
sense.
She
cannot repay, so therefore she's not a guy.
All right.
But because she can't repay it.
Why don't you give an example of a katan before the mitzvah that would be able to, you know, claim the repayment for the neva when he comes on? Not the same.
Right, because I think if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara says in Kiddushin in the sugya of Shlichus that since it says in the parsha of Truma it says Atem, and the Gemara says Atem, and then it says Gam Atem is l'rabba shluchach ma Atem b'nei bardas af shluchach and bardas. So a katan is mamish. You know, the Hava Mina, the Gemara by Yadvar Vera, is the Maskana Legabe Akot, meaning Akot is Mufka from Shlichus in all cases. As far as Yadvar Vera is concerned, to say that there's no Shlichus, says Ravina, that's a mistake, because there is Shlichus to Yadvar Vera, but only in a case where the Shliach himself is somehow excluded from that Avera, he's exempt from that Avera, and we haven't yet gotten to the point where we found a satisfactory case that fits that bill. But if Sama comes up with another answer to this kasha, you want to know why it is that we can derive chatzer from gneva, and why that doesn't upset the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, I have another limitation of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Hey Chamrinan, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, that's when the Shliach has a choice in the matter. We call it freedom of choice, right? Rak Hecha di boy Ovid, di boy Lo Ovid. So imagine, Rabosai, according to Rav Sama, if I would force the Shliach to do an Avera on my behalf, I would coerce him to do so, then we would apply the principle of Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera. But every Shliach, presumably, has the right to make his decision. This is Divrei Rav Divrei, right? He can make his decision, and he's a free agent. So therefore, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, because don't tell me, and don't fool me or fool anybody that you're an agent on behalf of the Mishaleach. That's Baba Maisa. I'm not going to buy into that. You made a decision that you're going to do this Avera. But Lu Yitzuyer, says Rav Sama, if we could come up with a case of somebody or something that doesn't have that ability to make a choice, there's no Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid, and that's the case of Chatzer, the Valkarcha, Mosiv law, that the object that was stolen was placed in the Chatzer, or the animal left, went into the Chatzer, and then the owner of the Chatzer locked the animal inside the Chatzer, is in such a case, you can't say Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid, because the Chatzer is an inanimate object and has no power to make any decisions. Machayv Sholcha. So any time, according to Rav Sama, that a Mishaleach could use the agency of a Shliach who doesn't have the ability to make this decision, again, I'm not going to introduce Katan because that's a little tricky because there's no Shlichus to a Katan, then Shlichus will operate. It's almost as if, I would almost laugh about this and say, Shliach Mishum Yad, that if you have a Shliach who can't possibly make a decision otherwise, then he's really the extension of your Yad. My Beit Nayu, what's the difference between Ravina and Rav Sama? Is there a case, a scenario in which there'll be an Afkimina? Ika Beit Nayu, Kohen, Di Omar Leili Yisrael, Tse Vekadesh Li Isha Grusha. Okay, I'm going to skip the next line because let's go through one by one. Each line here requires like a whole sheet. So let's just skip to the punchline. The Gemara says the following. You are a Kohen. You sent a Shliach who's Yisrael, right? The Shliach is Yisrael. And you sent him to what? To be Mekadesh, a Grusha on your behalf. Says the Gemara, Lahach Lishna, according to Rav Sama, that's the first Lishna. They call Hechadi by Ovid. I'm sorry, that's the second Lishna. I'm sorry, the second answer, Rav Sama. I got mixed up. Right, according to Rav Sama's second answer, that whether the Shliach Ledvar Veid depends upon whether the Shliach has freedom of choice to make that decision. And if Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid, is then Ein Shliach Ledvar Veira. And the Shalech is not going to be Chayav, is Hachinami, even though this Yisrael is a La Bar Chiyuva as far as the Aver of marrying a Grusha, but nevertheless, he does fit the bill of Iboyov and Iboylov. And therefore, we're going to apply the principle of Ein Shliach Ledvar Aver Velo Machayav Sholchan. Aber Lahach Lishna Di Amrit, Kol Hecha De Shliach La Bar Chiyuva. According to Ravina's first answer, it all depends on whether the Shliach has an Avera here. He's included in the Chiyuv. Is then, if he's not included in the Chiyuv, then Yesh Shliach Lidvar Avera is Machayv Sholcho, is Hochinami, came into Lab B'nei Chiyuv and Inu. Since Yisrael has no exclusion from marrying a Grusha, so the act of Kiddushin here to a Grusha is totally neutral, is Machayv Sholchan. And here we have a gigantic discussion in the Achrona, because the Achrona want to suggest, and it's all based on this Tosfos, Divra Maskil Di Omar, that perhaps when a Yisrael marries a Grusha on behalf of a Kohen, as a Shliach for the Kohen, and the Gemara says now that in such a case, at least according to Ravina, Yesh Shliach Ledvar Avera, because as far as the Yisrael who's marrying off this woman who's a Grusha for the Kohen, it's not an Avera, maybe it really is an Avera, even for the Yisrael himself. Because he's not marrying this woman for himself. He's doing a Maisa Kiddushin to marry her off to the Mishaleach. So Tosfos says that in such a case, just one second, did I tell you Iboy Loavid? Which Tosfos? I meant to tell you Tosfos the Omar. I said that? Oh, good. Okay, I'm sorry. So Tosfos says, V'im Tomar, why does the Gemara have to give us an example of a Yisrael who was sent as a Shliach? Afilu Omar LeKohen Nami, even if he appoints a Kohen as a Shliach, the Kohen is not marrying him, he's not marrying off this woman to himself. So it's told. So Yesh Lomer, the Kohen Mikri Bar Chiyuva hold the Mikat Shliatzmo Chayev. Oh, so Tosfos says that all we have to define is: are you included in this avera, not in this mice avera? Does this avera speak to you? In other words, is there a way that this Maisa for you could possibly be a Maisa avera? Then that means you're included in the parasha in the Chiyuv. So since if the Kohen would have married this woman to himself, he would be in violation of Grusha, of Kohen LeGrusha, and therefore it's considered that he's a Bar Chiyuva, even though he does it in a way where he is not violating that Iser. But nevertheless, he's included as a Bar Chiyuva. The Maisa could be a Maisa Avera, and the Gavra is included in the Parsha of Kohen LeGrusha. Oh, boy, what about Yisrael? What would you say? Is there an Avera for Yisrael to marry a Grusha? No. Well, you would say there's no way, no how, that Yisrael, under any circumstances, whether he married her for himself or on behalf of the Kohen who sent her, is going to violate an Issa. Tosfos says, wait a minute, that's not so pashut. Afal gavdi over mishum lifnei iver lo site michshol kishemakad shel Kohen. He is a Bar Chiyuva. He's not a Bar Chiyuva of what? Of Kiddushe Grusha, then there's no way under the sun that he could ever be liable for Kiddushe Grusha. But this Avera, he's a Bar Chiyuva, Bitoras what? Lifnei Iver Lo Site Michshol.
Well, it comes on an Iver. Cohen told him to pick this one.
Say it one more time.
Wait, he's saying the Kohen doesn't know she's a Grusha?
So this is called you're thinking in terms of Iver, right? You're right. The Chazal tell us that Iver in this pasuk doesn't mean what you think it means. Iver means anybody who needs you and you facilitate his avera, then as far as this avera is concerned, he needs you, he's an Iver. Now this takes us into a whole sugya in Masechet Avodah Zarah, which is called Trei Ivrei Denari. You familiar with that? So for example, the Gemara says, if a Yisrael stretches his arm out with Yayin to a Nazir, he violates Lifnei Iver. So the Gemara says, well, the Nazir can take the wine himself. So Gemara says, it's Trei Ivrei Denari. And again, we're going to have to see how this all fits into our case of Kohen who sends a Yisrael to Mekadesh and Grusha. But let's imagine that we have a situation here of Trei Ivrei Denari, right? It means that the Kohen who wants to marry this Grusha is in a different continent, he's very far away, and he appoints, maybe over the phone, I mean, that's an issue whether you can appoint the Shliach over the phone, or over Skype, you know, he appoints the Yisrael as his Shliach across the seven seas to be Mekadesh and Grusha. So that's called Trei Ivrei Denari. And the Gemara says that if in Trei Ivrei Denari there's a violation of Lifnei Iver. Correct? Why? Because the Iver here is not the blind person who's unaware of the Avera.
He's a dependent person.
But he's dependent, correct. He depends upon you to facilitate the Avera. So Tosfos says, V'afal gav, the Over, Mishum Lifnei Iver, Losite Mechshol, Kshem Kachel Kohen. He says, nevertheless, came into Imakad Shal Yatzmo, Lo Machayev, Lo Mikri Bar Chiyuva. So it means that Bar Chiyuva has to be Bar Chiyuva for Kiddushe Grusha. The fact that it happens to overlap here in this scenario with Lifnei Iver, that doesn't make him into a Bar Chiyuva. In effect, the Chakira here in Tosis between his Havamin and the Afalgav and his Maskana is what we call a Din Klali and a Din Mesuyam, if you're familiar with that lingo. It means Tosis in his Havamin thought that when the Torah says Lifnei Osite Mikshal, you become a Varchiyuva for that Avera. So for example, I'm not a Nazir, I'm allowed to drink wine, but if I give the Yayin to the Nazir, then through Lifnei Iver it's considered that I'm a Varchiyuva and this becomes an Avera for me. And Tos says, no, it's not a din mesuyim, it's a din klali. The Torah says, in general, you can't facilitate Yenem's violation of an Avera. But that has nothing to do with this specific act. We need to achieve the goal of your being a Bar Chiyuva for this specific Avera for which you were sent as a Shliach. There's no way that a Yisrael could ever be considered a Bar Chiyuva for this Avera of marrying a Grusha, because the Yisrael has never enjoyed from marrying a Grusha. So Rabosai, I want to leave you with a question. There's a Ran in Masechet Avodah Zarah, and I want to ask you two questions. It's really one question, two sides of a coin. And basically I'm going to ask you if the Ran can be reconciled with this Tosfos, and if your answer is no, then how is the Ran going to answer Kasha of Tosfos? What is the Ran's discussion? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah speaks about something which is called, I don't know how to pronounce it, it's not really Aramaic, it's called Kvake Vidmanki. Anyway, these are certain types of trees that they use in idol worship. And the Gemara wants to know whether or not Be'edehem, when these idol worshippers have their ceremony, you know, their holiday, is a Jew allowed to sell them these trees that they use to burn in their idolatry ceremonies?
Yeah. You can't even sell them before their holiday.
Okay, did I mistakenly say it was on the holiday? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Before the holiday.
Before the holiday.
Right. So the Gemara on Daf Vav, if you want to look it up, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, raises this question. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth whether or not you're allowed to sell these. Because keep in mind, it's not a case of asherah. Asherah is a little bit simpler in the Gemara, where you sell an asherah to a guy. Here you're only using these trees as what's called tikrovis of avodah zarah. Anyway, so the Gemara says that this would be a violation of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, and the Gemara goes back and forth. If, let's say, your lifnei iver is in front of a ben noach, but he's mitzvah as one of his seven mitzvahs, do I, as the Yisrael, violate lifnei iver if I give the akum the ability to worship avodah zarah? And that's also called lifnei iver. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that there's lifnei iver in a case of trei ibn denari, and so forth and so on. Says the Ran, what would be, listen carefully, this is a mind-boggling Ran, if the guy puts a gun to your head and he says, give me those trees, I'll pay for them even if you like, or I'll kill you. Now, what would be your knee-jerk response before I tell you that the Ran is going to revolutionize this?
Give it to him.
Give it to him, because the Torah says v'chayba, with three exceptions. But you're not violating avodah zarah. So the Ran says that because of lifnei iver, you have to give up your life. And the Ritva agrees with him. That is yeharik val yavar on lifnei iver of avodah zarah. So the Velt asks, I mean, how could that be? And the answer is that lifnei iver is not a din klali, but rather it's a din misuyam, if you follow my logic. Meaning that there's a lifnei iver built into every single avera. And the Torah says regarding this avera, that if you trip someone else in this avera, then you are, in virtual reality, you are considered that you violated that avera.
But wait, but is Yehereg Val Yavar also part of Akum?
No, absolutely not.
Ah, so now you can say.
But I don't know why that's relevant of it. Again, the question is the following. Does the Yisrael have to give up his life rather than violate lifnei iver? Everybody here would agree unanimously. What are you talking about? It's not one of the three. Again, if it's a v'farhesi v'shas ha-shvat, I'm not talking about that. Comes along the Ran, and the Ritva agrees with him, and says this is one of the three. What do you mean it's one of the three? Lifnei iver is one of Taryag, but it's not one of the three.
Saying that because you're over the lifnei iver, it's as if you did that at every
time. But if
all the cases of lifnei iver.
Yeah. But we can apply this principle universally.
And
if you're interested, I wish I could get a hold of it. I don't know how to access it. Maybe you can do it for me on the computer. This is an essay in a journal that was published like 100 years ago in Lithuania, which I don't remember the name of the journal. But there's an article in that journal by the Panovitcher Rav. Does anybody here or everybody here know his name?
Rav Kahaneman.
Rav Kahaneman, excellent. Rav Kahaneman, Zichron Livracha, wrote an entire article on Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol, and he's got like 20 nafgaminas based on this Ran. Now let's get back to Alice Sugya for a minute. Would you say that a Yisrael who marries off a grusha to a Kohen as a shliach for the Kohen and violates Lifnei Iver is going to be a Bar Chiyuva? Well, Tosa says he's not a Bar Chiyuva because he could marry the girl himself. And there's no situation under the sun where he's enjoined from marrying the Grusha. But if you take the Ran, then what conclusion would you say in the light of the Ran? That he's included in that Avera because Lifnei Iver takes me into every single Avera as a Din Misuya. All right, we'll stop here.
The appropriate moment. I mean, if I was over the thing here for somebody else, on
that I don't know. That's really a little different because when it comes to onshin, you know, we have principles like gufo. You know, his goof has to be involved.